Little is enough. How many of you have heard of mustard seed faith? Yeah. And oftentimes, mustard seed faith makes it sound like Jesus is saying to us, if you just have a little, just a little faith, that's all it takes, and you can move mountains. Well, that's all well and good, but what if you have no faith? It's not on? That's, see, you have no faith over there. Even a little bit. Just, it's, even if you had just a little bit. But what if you have none? In other words, knowing that Jesus says if you just have a tiny little bit and you go to use your tiny little bit and it doesn't work out, you come away saying, I don't even have enough for a little tiny bit. I spoke to the mountain and I spoke to whatever my need was and it didn't happen. I don't even have a mustard seed worth of faith. Anybody ever felt that way? Yeah. I think it relates to that other scripture that I've often brought out. Mark 9:23. Jesus said, if you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. I'm thinking, that's all well and good, but I don't have enough believing to believe all things are possible. I just hope I can get some things. Just some things. So these verses often don't set us free. They put a burden on us. It's like, oh, I don't even have mustard seed faith. I can't believe all things. John 15:5. Jesus said, I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. If you had just a mustard seed of faith, without me, you can do nothing. What's going on? Jesus often taught as one under the law because he was born of a woman and under the law to redeem us who were under the law. And under the law, it was on us to fix things. It was on us to love God and our neighbor. It was on us to have faith. And he's saying, really, he's saying this. You guys are in such bad shape. You are so totally depraved that even if you had a little mustard seed faith, you could move a mountain. That's how bad you've got it. That's a little different, isn't it? That's how bad you've got it. You can't do anything. If you had just a little bit of faith, you could move mountains, but you don't even have that. That's what's really going on. Hebrews 7:25. Therefore, he is also able to save to the uttermost those who come to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. I think in our pride and I think in our upbringing, we think, well, if we ever need help, it's not like we needed help for everything. I just needed a little bit. You know, I'm picking up something heavy, and I say, you know, John, come help me pick this up. Well, I'm picking up a lot of it too. He's picking up just the part I couldn't manage on my own. You follow me? So when we think that Jesus came to save us, we think somehow he's saving us for that part we couldn't do for ourselves. I want you to know there isn't a part we can do for ourselves. You can do nothing. I'm saving you to the uttermost. Have you ever heard of that phrase, total depravity? I mean, you must have heard it 5 seconds ago. But did you ever hear it before that? Total depravity means you are totally void of anything of God. anything of his nature, of his power. We are totally natural, emptied. That word, uttermost, here's the definition. I guess you'd say pantelis. In no wise. Not in some wise, in no wise. Completely, utterly, you and I are being saved. So when Jesus was here on the earth and he was speaking to his disciples and he was saying, if you can believe, all things are possible. He knew they couldn't believe whatsoever. If you had a tiny seed of faith, you could move mountains. He knew they didn't even have that. Jesus isn't coming to save us to fill in the gaps. He's coming to save us utterly and completely. How saved are we? First, 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, most things have become new. All have become new. In other words, like that pot, I'm just the dirt in it, and I have no seed whatsoever to grow anything. I must have his seed in me for faith to grow at all. And until I'm born again, I don't even have a mustard seed to deal with. Are you understanding me now? All things have become new. And then verse 18, now all things are of God. When you and I became born again, all things are of God, including my faith, including my believing. His faith, his believing. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live. I have nothing to bring to the party. I'm coming just as I am. And I have nothing going forward. God is not redeeming some of me and then adding the rest of him to make me acceptable. He's made me a completely new creation. But Christ lives in me because I no longer live. It's his faith. It's his believing. Now when you hear, if you just had a tiny seed of mustard seed faith, you could move mountains. Whose faith is it? Whose little is it? It's not mine. I have nothing. It's about him and us. I may not believe that God will move in my life in huge and magnificent and powerful ways like I've seen others. But will he move in my life in the smallest ways? Is it possible that in the smallest ways he could touch your life? If that's possible, that's a mustard seed of faith, and it moves mountains. How wonderful is that? That even the burden of faith is not mine. All I need do is be exposed to his word long enough for a little crack to get in, a little seed to drop, a little water to trickle. Because a little trickle with him, a little seed of his, is greater than that which is in the world. It's not my seed, it's his. It's not my faith, it's his. It's not on me, it's on him. And if I can receive a little peace, a little rest, a little comfort, what have I received? I've received a little mustard seed of faith in me. Come on. If you're born again, you've received that seed. And when you go to the Word of God, to meditate on it, to think about it, according to your need. If you feel any comfort at all, the tiniest little crack, you've received a mustard seed. And Jesus says, if you have that, you can move mountains. There's no favoritism with God. What he's done for one, he's done for all. You see, I want us to get something really strong today. I think God wants us to get it. I'm not putting the burden on you. I want you to realize that just a little of me is all you need. Just a little. The true work of grace. John 6:29, Jesus answered and said to them, this is the work of God. Are you looking at this? Look at this. This is a nutshell, pivotal verse. This is a pillar verse. This is what it's all about right here. What is the work of God in your life? That you believe in him. What do I need in life? To believe in him. What do I need for my life? To believe in him. John 12:46. I have come as a light into the world that whoever believes in me, when you believe in him, even to the smallest degree, that's a mustard seed of faith that's been planted in your life by him. That's enough to move mountains. Look at this verse from Matthew 19:26. But Jesus looked at them and said to them, now, I'll give you the context. He was basically saying that it's harder for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God than for a camel to go through the eye of a needle. Now, for a camel to go through the eye of a needle, if you're thinking of a little needle, that's impossible. Right? But it could be understood that the gates in cities were huge. And instead of opening the whole gate, they had a little door, and they called that the eye of the needle. So if the gate, maybe the gate is as big as that ceiling is right there. And that little doorway right there would be the eye of the needle. And for a camel to go through a door like that, it would have to get on its knees and crawl. Either way, the point is this. Jesus looked at them and said to them, with men, this is impossible. With men, it's impossible for you to have faith. It's impossible for you to believe. It's impossible. Even if you had a little tiny seed, you could do mountain moving. But you don't even have that until I come into your life, until I make it alive to you. Jesus, the power of God. I want to share with you some things to think about. In light of this truth, little is enough, but it's not your little. It's his little. You with me? It's his little. And you receive his little when you get into his word. When you get even a little word from his word. You know, you don't have to know all of the verses about the matter. You just need to find one. And maybe in that verse, it's just one word in the verse. That's happened to me. I'll read healing scriptures, for example, and it because of my state, I'm not receiving anything. And then someone, somewhere, something will happen. And maybe I'm reminded of that phone call to the senator's office. And Sue Cook answered it. And suddenly, I receive a little comfort. Seed faith. Seed faith. Seed faith. Well, that's just for provision. God doesn't separate himself like that. If he comforts you in one area, it permeates everything. If you're asking for healing over here and you're involved with a healing verse, it also has to do with wisdom and provision, protection. Matthew 8:16, When evening had come, they brought to him many who were demon-possessed, and he cast out the spirits with a word. How powerful is that? There's a lot of traffic in the road. Policeman walks out, blows his whistle, and he says, "Stop!" One word. And they stop. Right, Pat? Right, Pat? With a word. He probably had hundreds, if not thousands, coming to him. And instead of taking time with each one, what do you have? How long has this happened? What can you believe about this? And talking with he didn't have time to do that, did he? He says, "Peace, be well, go." Touch them. Boom. With a word. With a word. Think about that. These people were probably coming in with all kinds of sicknesses and diseases. Things that are like maybe cancer. With a word. With a word. He's dishing it out with a word. Just a mustard seed word moves mountains from God. Mark 4:39. He rose and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "You know, have you ever been in the water when a storm rose? Anybody? Yeah. I got to tell you a story. I must have been, 17 years old. I was out on a lake with my brother, and a storm came. And we were trying to row to get back, and we weren't getting anywhere. And it was tossing. It was starting to get heavy rain. I've never been out there like that. I didn't know what. And I'm thinking, we should get out and swim for it. I started to stand up, and my brother says, "Sit down. You're going to tip the boat. Will you sit down and calm down? You know, we'll get there. Just calm down." I was there. It was pretty wild. With a word, a storm, lightning, winds, waves, scaring them, panicked. He stands up after being asleep, and he says, "Alakazam! Ho! Abba something or other stuff, you know? He just kind of goes on for 5-10 minutes. You're going to listen to me. No, he doesn't say much at all. He just says, "Peace. Be still." You see, a little with God is huge. Before I go to that, I want to talk to you about two more cases. Remember the man that was in the tombs, and he could not be bound, and he would break the chains, and he would run around in the tombs just tormented, and everybody was afraid of him. Jesus comes on shore, and the man comes up to him, and he asks, "You know, who are you?" And he says, "My name is Legion." Remember the story? A legion of demons were in this man. A legion. And the legion of demons were begging him not to be tormented before their time. But there is a herd of pigs. "Let us go into the pigs." They're begging Jesus, and he's probably standing there like this. "Are you done yet? You finished?" They're begging him, "Give us leave." He probably just said, and they rush into the pigs. The pigs rush down the mountain and they drown in the lake. That's the story, right? A legion of demons powered by just go. From who? You? Me? From him and me. From him and you. Another story. Remember the woman, the Syrophoenician woman, who came to Jesus and wanted him to heal her daughter who was demon-possessed. And she was not a Jew. And Jesus says, it's not good to take the children's bread and toss it to the dogs. I know that doesn't make sense, but he was basically rebuffing her. You're not a covenant woman. You're not in the, You're not in the Jewish nation. You're not under the law. You're not in covenant. There's nothing I can do for you. And she says, but even the dogs eat from their master's crumbs that fall from the table. A crumb. How big is a crumb? I mean, I guess it could be pretty big, but they're also very, very, very small. Right? And Jesus says, because of your saying, go your way, she is made well. So a crumb, a tiny mustard seed, a word, a touch, is all we need. We don't need to know everything. We don't have to spend hours and hours in prayer. We just need to make one little contact. And that little is enough. Jesus' name is above all names, greater in power and force than anything on the earth. This is a truth. Grace is abundantly flowing far more than the curse is found. Romans 5:20, moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin abounded, grace much more abounds. One touch, one word, one connection. That's all you need. And it's not your faith. It's what he gives you.